And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, this is a big week coming up. Monday, it's Martin Luther King's birthday. Wednesday, we have the inauguration of Joe Biden as the next president. So on Wednesday, we can say out with the old. And we've had a very tumultuous January, haven't we?
Yeah. So many things in such a short period of time. And we're only halfway through, or just a little more than halfway through it.
Well, let's see if we can tackle it.
Okay.
We had the insurrection.
Yes.
And now we have the fallout from the insurrection.
Yes, which is going to last for a while.
Which is going to last for a while. And which may or may not bring people brought up on charges for all kinds of things. Although, there's always the possibility that in the next few days, Trump will pardon all of them, right?
You never know. Usually he does a Friday night pardon dump, but he didn't do one this week.
Well, he doesn't have any more Friday nights.
That's correct. But he could still do things. And there's a whole host of more of the usual suspects, the likely suspects, that have not yet received pardons. Rudy Giuliani, for one.
But he's mad at him. Yeah. He's not going to pardon him. He's mad at him. He won't even pay him.
Giuliani expected really to get paid. He wouldn't pay his other lawyers. Why would he pay Giuliani, particularly since Giuliani didn't deliver?
That's really why he's not paying him, because he didn't deliver. That's right.
No, it's not. That's just the excuse. He just doesn't like to pay his bills. That's what's happening. But Trump has no loyalty to anybody. And he demands total loyalty from everybody. And what's amazing is nobody seems to have caught on to this, that still hangs around him. I mean, even Mike Pence, who was threatened with death because of the way Trump ginned up the crowd, still is taking Trump's side on matters. Of course, Pence wasn't the sharpest tool in the toolbox,
guys are the same. Each one figures he or she, he's not going to get tagged. It won't happen to him. He'll escape. Everybody else will fall. I won't fall. I got my special relationship. That's how people think. That's how these people think. That's how courtiers think always. Otherwise, without that kind of an approach, you can't maneuver around a king.
True. I mentioned Rudy, but more interestingly is what's going to happen with Ivanka, Jared, Don Jr., Eric, the inner circle, the family, so to speak.
Well, the tragedy is that Ivanka and Jared have no place to live. This is quite serious. This is horrible. Their friends, former friends, don't want them back in New York. Where should they go? They want to go to Mar-a-Lago, but they don't. She and Melania don't talk. How are they going to live together there? This is serious. This is something we should really be concerned about.
Yeah,
this is like separating children. Ivanka is going to be separated from her stepmother. This is separating children from their parents. It hits the Trump family. How can this?
That's it. This week they came out and they said there's still 500 and some families we can't find out, and we found out how intentional the separation really was. There was a report. Speaking of people that need a pardon, maybe Stephen Miller.
He only needs a pardon from history. He doesn't need a pardon from Trump.
Well, we'll see what happens to him, where he goes. He's already estranged from his family. That's another one on the list. And I don't know if you saw it, but this week, the shaman, the guy who was in the Capitol in the furs and the horns and carrying the flag.
Yeah, he's being specially discriminated against. I don't know if that's what you're getting at, but I saw that.
Well, his lawyer was on TV making a pitch for a pardon, and he said the only reason I was my client was there was he was invited by the president.
Well, he's not lying. He wasn't lying.
No.
But I thought what you were getting at was that his mother pointed out that he only ate organic food and the prison wasn't giving him organic food, and he would suffer in prison if he didn't get organic food because he didn't like to eat other kinds of food.
Well, that I saw that too, but that's something a pardon would cure.
His mother could continue to feed him.
He could continue to feed him, yes. Yeah. And there are others. They're gradually getting picked up. The lady who was in the House of Representatives near the Speaker's seat, she was a school therapist. And she got picked up. She went to Washington to save the kids. She quit her job.
The ones who are being trafficked by the Democratic conspiracy?
Yeah.
She was going to save them.
Yeah.
But did she go to the pizza place to get into the basement?
I don't know. That might have been her next destination, but she never got that far.
She didn't get there.
The thought process, it's really interesting because for the last couple of years with this QAnon conspiracy, that's the whole thing, that Donald Trump was going to be the savior of all these kids. And, of course, he did nothing to fulfill what the QAnon people were expecting him to do. And yet they're sticking to him like glue.
How could he possibly have cracked down on the Hillary Clinton cult that was selling children when there was nobody to crack down on? How could he have done that? I feel for Donald. He's being unfairly criticized if you're criticizing him for that.
Yeah. The logic of this is sort of like trying to divide by zero, which you can't do.
Right.
But you can get any answer you want. Again, I get back to the psychology of this whole process and the thought processes of the true believers on this. It's like the people who follow a leader who said the world is going to end on such and such a date, and then it doesn't end, and they don't admit that they were wrong or that the leader was wrong. They just change their story. They just say, well, we were right, but, and continue to maintain their insanity, so to speak.
It's a standard operating procedure in the American government that happened this week with regard to Guantanamo. I don't know if you noticed that. There's a prisoner in Guantanamo who was tortured, and he went crazy. He's been in Guantanamo from the beginning, right? Many, many, many years.
Yeah, almost 20 years now.
Yeah. So he went to court, and he got a court ruling that said that he should be shipped to Saudi Arabia, where he would be given psychological treatment. But if an independent group of doctors examined him and determined that he really was crazy, there's no question that he's crazy, but the court said, let an independent group of doctors examine him. One of the doctors should be from the Defense Department. And if that panel determines that he's really nuts, send him to Saudi Arabia where he can get psychological treatment. And the reason the judge ruled that was what should be done is because there was a Defense Department regulation that said that's what should happen. Well, the Trump administration, at the end of this week, the Secretary of the Army changed the regulation, and it holds for everybody except people who are imprisoned in Guantanamo. Since it doesn't hold for people who are imprisoned in Guantanamo, the judge's ruling no longer has any effect. So that's not going to happen. Right? So that's justice.
Well, that's how this administration has operated.
Yeah. all the way down the line, every step of the way. I'd like to
undermine the rule of law.
Well, they don't believe in the rule of law. Now, you can make a case for not believing in the rule of law. You can make a case that law should be subordinated to politics, but they don't do that. They claim that they believe in the rule of law. It's that hypocrisy which gets them in trouble. If they would make a claim that law shouldn't count, but politics should count, okay, now people who believe that could openly explain why there should not be any protections for the minority and whatever else it is that law does that makes it superior to the whims of politics. But they don't do that because what they want is the law to protect them while they can inflict damage on their enemies. It's total hypocrisy. Total hypocrisy.
Damage certainly has been done.
Yeah. Damage, what we got now? More than 4,000 dead every day? In other words, right. A 9/11 plus a third every day from COVID? Something that the Trumpists first said didn't exist, then said didn't exist in America, then said couldn't exist in America, then said would die out in America all on its own. But whatever they said, they mainly said, we're not going to do anything about it. We don't want to do it. It's not the government's job. We're not going to do it. You figure it out. And even this warp speed business was the wrong, they tried to solve the wrong problem. The problem was not creating a vaccine. The problem was getting a vaccine into people's arms. Creating it was one aspect of it. The other aspect is transporting it and having an injection campaign. That they didn't bother with. So the minute they tried to do it, it took less than a week. The whole effort fell apart, right?
Yeah. They had total incompetence. This week, they actually had the Secretary of HHS, Azar, comes out and talks about distributing, that they're going to distribute additional vaccines from the reserves. And then the governors found out that there were no reserves, that they couldn't get additional vaccines.
Can you imagine fighting a war and the quartermaster corps runs out of bullets?
Right.
It's not imaginable. But that's exactly what you're looking at here.
Right.
And Trump said, oh, well, everything was great. Everything was great. The economy was great. This was the best administration in the history of administrations until by some chance we got hit by this unforeseeable panic, this unforeseeable invasion, this unforeseeable illness. What do you want from me? Well, what we want from you is, since you were in charge, that you would fight it. Because every nation that's at peace and then gets invaded has to fight the invasion. It's no sense saying, well, last year we were at peace. We were doing great. It's not my fault that we were invaded this year. But you were invaded this year. Are you going to fight back? You're responsible. And if you don't fight back, then it doesn't matter what you did last year because this year we all got wiped out and the cities were destroyed. And that's what happened with our cities. 66,000 companies went out of business. 20 million people lost their jobs. The educational system destroyed, all of normal social life wiped out, 4,000 people dead, God knows how many millions sick for the rest of their lives.
You're at 400,000 people dead.
Yes, 4,000 a day dead, and God knows how many millions will be sick with one or another horrible illness forever, for the rest of their lives, as a consequence of this infection.
The healthcare system overtaxed.
Well, almost crashed, if you think about it.
Well, in some places, it effectively did crash.
Yeah.
They started rationing oxygen. They started triaging people that they would let into the ERs.
That's what this whole gang should have been impeached for. I don't say they shouldn't have been impeached for causing a coup, but way before that, they should have been impeached for the destruction, the purposeful, conscious destruction of American society. Which is what they would, that's what they did. It's exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our own senator, Toomey. We had Biden comes out and says, no, we're going to do the $2,000 checks, right?
Right.
The only thing that prevented a major depression in the country were the relief checks that were given to the workers, right? The upgrade in the unemployment. Everybody who knows anything about it says, thank God for that, because otherwise, on top of everything else, we would have had a depression just like in the 1930s, the same social effect.
Right.
So Toomey says, we shouldn't have these $2,000 checks. I'm against it. They are. What did he say?
He said they're a colossal waste.
Colossal waste.
It's economically wasteful, putting money in people's pockets when they don't have any means of securing other income because the businesses are shut down, where they don't have the means to, where they've lost their health insurance, where they're being evicted because the eviction moratorium has run out. These are folks that are just totally detached from what's really happening. Of course, Toomey's not running for re-election, but this is who he was all along.
Yeah, he was the head of the Club for Growth. And the Club for Growth in 2018 and 2020, which is not a club and it's not for growth, it's for the growth of profit, but that gang gave $20 million to 42 Republican congressmen who were the ones who, among the 100 and whatever, who voted to not certify Biden's election. $20 million. And the biggest beneficiaries were Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, and that despicable new congresswoman, Lauren Boebert, who comes from Oklahoma.
Colorado,
wherever the hell she comes from. Who really should be excluded from the Congress before she gets her teeth into it. But she's one of the biggest of the beneficiaries. So that's good. That's a good thing to do.
Well, that was, talk about a colossal waste. That really was a colossal waste. But this is the typical way that this country has, and the Republican Party has been running things, even as a minority, how they've managed to control and to do things that are totally detrimental to the interests of the country as a whole or to the long-term interests of the country. And companies, by the way, because companies, as you pointed out, are failing under these proposals.
Yeah.
Talk about Boebert and all these other Republicans. After the assault on the Capitol and after the narrow escape that many of these people had, they would not go through metal detectors. They thought that was beneath them.
And they wouldn't wear masks.
They wouldn't wear masks. They infected four Democratic congressmen and congresswomen.
But to be sure, they would have been equally happy infecting Republican congressmen and congresswomen. They were just interested in infecting.
They must have been,
because otherwise they would have worn masks.
This is their right.
Yep.
Their right to infect
their
other
right
people.
To infect. Exactly right.
Yes.
Exactly right.
Being spoiled or whatever. Boebert carries a gun and wants it. I'm surprised that I know what Pelosi is going to do. She's going to have a rule that if you don't go through the metal detectors, you're going to be severely fined.
I think it's $5,000 for the first offense and $10,000 for the second offense, and they automatically deduct it from the salary.
Yeah, but I think that they need even a further one saying the third offense, you're suspended or expelled from Congress.
Right. Or want to suspend them and expel them. They can just say you're not suspended or expelled, but you can't get on the floor. Can't vote. Can't go into your office.
Right. Or you're suspended from being on committees.
Yeah.
You can't do things. But their voters would still send them back. This is like the voters of South Carolina when Preston Brooks walked over to the Senate and clubbed Charles Sumner almost to death with his cane and broke the cane. The people of South Carolina sent him new canes.
Right.
This is the same mentality.
Right. It is.
The same mentality that's there.
And by the way, it's the same politics. It's the same politics. These people are stone white racists. That's what they are. That's what animates them. That's what they're fighting for. They want to bring back the days when there could be a President Brooks in the Congress that could club Charles Sumner. That's what they're fighting for. That's what the maggots are for. That's the great America that they are celebrating.
Well, you saw the speech that Trump gave on the 6th and what these people say. We want our country back.
Yeah.
And what you have to ask them is from whom? Who do you want it back from?
Right.
We want our country back sounds half reasonable, but when you start pinning them down, and some of them are going to be proud of their racism and their supremacy, and also religious supremacy, Christian supremacists.
Yeah,
there's a quote that's erroneously been attributed to Sinclair Lewis about that when fascism comes to America, it'll be wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross. They've never been able to quite trace that down as to where it came from or the exact wording of that. But that's what a large segment of this crowd was. Now, many in the crowd are just proud of this. They're willing to own it. Some of them are police officers. Some of them are ex-military people as they assaulted cops and what have you. But some of them are still cowards. Frank Scavo from Old Forge, who went to Washington and went to the Capitol.
Well, he didn't just go. Didn't he organize two busloads to go?
He organized 200 people, more than two busloads.
Oh.
But when asked if he actually had breached the Capitol doors, he denied it. He ran from that until they found a picture of him in the Capitol.
Why isn't he being arrested?
That's a good question. I would have thought that the local FBI would have called him in already. Maybe they have. We don't know it, but there's at least a criminal trespass charge there. He may not have been one of those that was smashing windows or threatening. It might have been just
nobody did that. That didn't happen. You're right. Lying. It never happened. The photos that show it, those were made up. That's Photoshop.
Photoshopping, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, they were holding a prayer service.
The prayer service.
Right.
At with the guy from the staff of Camp Auschwitz?
All right. Some of the things are hard to explain, but there's an explanation.
Well, they'll always come up with them. And they're spreading them. The thing is that these things now, they're off Twitter, they're off Facebook, they're off some of the apps. Google has taken some of the apps away. Parler can't get on there, but they're going to the dark web, where they're harder to find and harder to determine. We know that there was an article in the Forward this week about the fellow named Andrew Torba from Muzik, our backyard, who hosts that website Gab. I tried to get on it this week a couple of times, and I haven't been able to. Once they said they were undergoing maintenance, and I don't know whether it's my server or whatever has not been able to connect with it, but other people have been able to. And from what I understand, there's plenty of racism going on in the commentary on
it. So Gab is a local Northeast Pennsylvania product?
Yes, it is. That was the place where the shooter in Pittsburgh was on, and that's where he posted his final words before he went in to murder those 11 people. He said, "I'm going in."
On Gab.
He was on Gab.
On Gab.
He was on Gab. Yeah.
So let me ask you this: so, are we seeing a split in the Republican Party? I mean, it's my feeling that this is what a split looks like. This is what a realignment looks like when you're going through it. Because we read that Mitch McConnell is be delighted to get rid of Trump and the influence of the Trump people from the Republican Party. We got Tom Friedman, who's not a Republican, but who, you know, has points of view that speaks to one section of the Republican Party, who writes about the fact that what the country needs is a new conservative party side by side with the Trump Republican Party. And we have the Trump people, Don Jr. especially, saying the Republican Party is now the Trump Republican Party. So is it, do you feel that we're now, what we're seeing now is a realignment and possibly birth of a new conservative party to be one of three parties, Democrats, this party, and the Trumpist party?
Yeah, there definitely, and there has been a split going on in the Republican Party for a while now. It's been more gradual, but we saw people that split away, but they were mostly, I guess you'd call it the intelligentsia of the party, the Bill Kristols, the Bret Stephens.
Some intelligentsia. He brought you Sarah Palin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I used to say of Bill Kristol, he's never right, but he's never in doubt.
Right, exactly.
And you're seeing more and more of that. You saw the Lincoln Project people, the Steve Schmitz. I thought that Rick Wilson's book was prophetic. I always said that Trump had a reverse Midas touch. Everything he touched turned to S-H-I-T. But Rick Wilson wrote a book saying everything Trump touches dies. And it's pretty apparent that the Republican Party, as we know it, the party of Lincoln, has died under Trump.
But he could have a new party. He could have a new party, a fascist, racist party. That's what he's got a group like that. He talks about his movement. Why can't that movement become the Republican Party? It could.
Yeah. The problem was that they've become independents, and independents don't have an organized party. They don't have a platform, so to speak. And right now, the split doesn't have a leader in the party. The closest they've come is Mitt Romney, but he's not a revolutionary type of person, and they don't have a name for themselves, something to gather. The Trumpists have a name, Trump.
Yeah.
But there is no real leader. There are people who are willing to break and what have you, but we don't have that coalescing.
It's just
yet.
Like Germany, when the business people thought they could control Hitler, and when it was too late, they couldn't form a political opposition to Hitler ever, and had to continue to go along with him because they had no choice, even if they didn't want to.
Yeah. Well, here what we've seen is that the business people have stopped funding a lot of the candidates and a lot of the other PACs and stuff that we've seen. I don't expect that to last forever, but right now, and I think, obviously it's in their self-interest, because they realize that unless you have a rule of law and you have an orderly way of running the government, that business can't function. Because don't forget, despite what they talk about free markets, these businesses live off of the government.
That's right, and they depend on the government to regulate their ability to do business.
Correct. So they're backing off, and you have that leadership there. How long that lasts, I don't know. But we're going to see that. This week, we'll have the, hopefully, I'm pretty sure we're going to have the installation of a guy from Scranton as president. Washington, D.C., my daughter tells me, is an armed camp. You can't go anywhere. The place is blocked off. Businesses have closed now for the week. They're not until at least the 21st. The colleges are closed down there. Even in Scranton, the mayor has closed City Hall on the 19th and 20th. We'll see what happens. I'm more worried about what might happen in some of the state capitals that are softer targets.
Well, we'll see. We're done.
We'll see.
We're done then right now. We'll see. We'll talk about it next week.
Well,
out with the old. That's the motto for this week.
We hope the Trump administration is done.
Yes, we hope it's done.
That's the biggest thing to
be
done.
There'll be a carryover. There'll be a hangover, and it won't be so easy to get rid of that hangover.
We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City, 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.